The Open Door of Emptiness, Chapter 2, Love and Impermanence, Part 2. There are many different approaches in Buddhism. Many of them are concerned with the path to awakening, going from here to there. In Dzogchen, we want to go from here to here. We are already here, but not quite here. We are not quite where we are, because we don't quite see it. In the traditional example, when you look at a mirror, you see reflections. The reflections are in the mirror. They are how the mirror shows itself, but are not the mirror itself. In the same way, our mind shows itself as thoughts, feelings, memories, plans, and so on. This is the radiant display of our mind. This is the flow of experience. Very often, we're not aware of this, because we sit inside a separation or a division. I am me here. I am looking at you there. You are not me. I am not you. Our starting point is often separation, isolation, autonomy, individuality. But of course, if I say I am here, you are there, that is a proposition. That is a statement. It is a sequence of concepts. That there is an I which is here. That there is a you which is there. We can only have this kind of discourse because of the arising of thoughts mediated through language. These are experiences. We experience talking, listening, moving, and sitting. This is what is revealed. What is the basis of the revelation? Clearly, a mirror has a clarity which a piece of wall doesn't have. When you look at the wall, you see the wall. When you look at the mirror, you see the reflection, which is not the reflection of the mirror, but is the reflection because of the mirror. That is to say, the mirror shows itself through displaying what is not itself. Although a particular reflection is not the truth of the mirror, because the mirror has the capacity to show many different reflections, the reflection is inseparable from the mirror. They are not the same. They are not one thing, but neither are they two things, because there is no way to extract the reflection from the mirror. The mirror and the reflection are non-dual, not two, not one, not two, but in the middle. In the same way, we have a mind that is our awareness, or the basic illuminative capacity that is how we know anything is there. Just as the mirror reveals the reflection, so the mind reveals thoughts, memories, plans, and so on. It also reveals motor cars, factories, houses, trees, and plants. Every kind of experience we have is revealed through our mind. Now, a mirror is able to show many different reflections because of two main factors. One is that no reflection defines the mirror itself. And secondly, reflections arise as co-emergent with an article placed in front of the mirror. One could say that the potential of the mirror is evoked by placing the object in front of it. The potential of the mirror is not like the potential of a seed we may plant in the garden. The seed is the potential. When it is put in the earth, watered, protected from frost, and gets some sunlight, it starts to germinate, and you get the plant. That is to say, the plant has a specific cause, which was the seed from which it manifested. But the mirror doesn't have little packages of seeds at the back. It doesn't have a particular capacity for showing a tree or a car. Its potential is not the potential of something. It's the potential of the openness, or the lack of predetermination in the mirror, which allows these different reflections to arise. It is the same with your mind. Since you were born, you have had many experiences that you understand as my experiences. I have these experiences because I am me. This is the egocentric story we can tell ourselves. I am the maker of my experiences. But a little inquiry will indicate that this is false. Because if we look, life happens through us, to us, with us. I find myself being like this. I am aware of myself in the moment of the revelation of myself. This is to say, I, me, myself, is an aspect of disclosure, not an aspect of causation. There is a lot of writing nowadays about the self as a performativity. But in fact, ourselves is part of the performance. When we are walking, walking movement is me walking. I am walking is a commentary, a conclusion, and an act of colonialism. Walking is going on. Who is walking? Walking is walking. No. I am walking. But how do you do this? Is there a little puppeteer inside me pulling all the strings to make the walking me? What is the agency of walking? Imagine if every movement you made with your body was a conscious one which you had to prepare for before you did it. That would not be very nice. You'd be so preoccupied with all the micro instructions. Elbow down, not too far, up again. You find yourself co-emerging with the situation. You can sit directly by yourself. This is the meaning of the term non-dual. My life is with. I am always with. I am with the sit. If I get up, I'm standing with my feet. If I step down, I am with the movement of my hips as I put one leg at a lower level than another. My body is always dancing with the shape of the environment. Always. If you go to a Chinese restaurant and get chopsticks, your relationship with eating is very different from having a knife and fork. There is a different kind of finesse. According to the chopstick, my hands take on a particular formation. Different patterns of muscles are being employed. You may say, I am using the chopsticks, but it is the chopsticks that are causing my hand to take that particular formation. You have to do what the chopstick says. If you haven't been to a Chinese restaurant for a while, you forget how to hold them. However, after some time, you can even pick up a single grain of rice with your chopsticks. You are trusting the connectivity between the grain of rice and these two sticks in your hand. You are collaborating with the chopsticks. So, who is in charge? Let's return to the image of the mirror. The indeterminacy of what the mirror itself is the basis of its capacity to show many different images. Because the mirror is ungraspable, there is no identifiable essence to the mirror. This indicates that there is no restriction on the potential of the mirror. If we look at the wall, there is some potential for fascination in that wall. If you were locked in a prison cell, you might be able to get many hours of fascination from the marks on the wall. If someone had made a painting on the wall, the painting would direct our gaze more than random marks on the wall. As we look at the painting, our eyes move around, tracking colours, combinations, contrasts, and so on. We are participating in the shaping of the formation of the image. We are helping to give the painting an identity. If we were to see the painting in the gallery, it would have a title and a frame, which would help us to establish its validity. The mind is not like a painting. The mind is showing more and more and more. However, you also have the patterning of what you take to be your identity. Your likes, your dislikes, what you are drawn towards, what you hold back from. There is a shape to you, and we often take this shape as being somehow determined by myself. This is how I am. This is what I like to eat, and this is what I don't like to eat. On the basis of choice, which is always determining a line between included and excluded, we establish the periphery and the contouring of ourselves. This is a description of your potential. Identity, especially anxiously maintained identity, becomes a foreclosure on accessing the potential of the mind. This is why, once you have established your basic competencies in life, not knowing is better than knowing. Not knowing dissolves the boundaries of identity to open it to fresh input from potential. If you have a highly formulated identity, for example, if you have been imprisoned for 10 years, or you've been in the army for 10 years, when you leave these settings, it is often very difficult because the choreography demanded by closed institutions is very precise. Outside, in the big world, there is a lot more freedom. In prison, you know how you must behave. If you go out and walk in the streets here in Warsaw, you don't necessarily know how you should behave. You could sing, hop, and walk backwards, and you wouldn't be arrested. You might be embarrassed. That could be a very good way to test how anxiously contained your identity is. Moment by moment, our life is an effulgence, a radiance of experience, some of which looks object, and some of which looks subject. That is to say, experience, the content of my mind, what is revealed in, through, and as the mind, is ever-changing, inseparable from the mind, but not the same as the mind, or definitive of the mind. Let's say that I am habitually quite angry. You may then say that James is an angry person. That anger is an ongoing trait or flavour or coloration of the person who is known as James. But could I say my mind is angry? What would that mean? If you put something which you find disgusting in front of a mirror, would you say that it is a horrible mirror? It may be a horrible reflection, but it doesn't determine the mirror. I am angry. That is the reflection. That's the showing. That's the display. If you impute from it some essence of James, You collapse the openness of the potential of awareness into a self that is identifiable as having fixed, enduring characteristics. That is the key point to investigate for yourself. For example, you're talking with a friend about some problem. I don't know. I feel so stupid. Why did I do that? You seem to be establishing something about yourself, but you're speaking with someone. You are relating. You are creating a moment of connectivity with that other person. It is an intimate moment because something is being revealed that might otherwise be concealed. But what is being revealed? I feel so stupid. How could I be so stupid? I am really stupid. Who is the one who is stupid? The conversation carries on, and soon you are laughing together. Now you are feeling happy. Before, you were self-blaming. What has happened to the one who felt really stupid? Now, your friend asks for some advice, and you respond with something quite wise. Surely, there is a contradiction. How can you be really stupid, and also really wise, as one and the same person? Novels and dramas often show a person with inner conflicts. The flawed hero is the anti-hero. A lot of literary criticism explores that theme. The novelist creates a complex character with nuances, a polyphony. It's a very helpful idea because so many voices arise as us. Not 10 or 1,000, we have access to millions of voices, millions of different combinations of facial expressions, gestures, repetitive speech, and so on. The permutations are infinite. When we relax, we show more of ourselves. When we go for a job interview, we have a more intentional presentation of ourselves. What we call our ego self is a patterning arising moment by moment with circumstances. It is not guaranteed or established or certified by any enduring self-essence. This is amazing. I am emergent in a situation, and this emergence is arising from the connectivity of the field whose ground or basis cannot be caught. To put that in formal Buddhist language, the ground of everything is emptiness. It is unsubstantial. It doesn't mean that there is nothing at all, because this emptiness is the openness of what is yet to be shown. Children play together. At work, you work with colleagues, even if they're not in the same room. We are always in intercourse, in interplay. Just as in the ocean, the wave has a crest and a depth, up and down, up and down. When you are having a conversation with someone, they speak, you listen. Then you speak, they listen, like waves, going up and down, expressing, receiving. You get up in the morning, you look out of the window, you see how the weather is, and then you decide what coat you need to wear. There is fashion, of course, but there is also weather. If you're 18, you might not mind being cold, but as you get older, it feels better to be warm. In that way, you are in ceaseless conversation with factors: weather, age, health, confidence in your sexuality or not. So many factors could occur on how you present yourself. I decided to wear my blue sweater. What does that mean? A thought arose in my mind. This sweater is warm. And I followed the thought. Did I make the thought? No. I caught the thought. Or did the thought catch me? In any case, now I am wearing the blue sweater. Again and again, start to see how your mind is operating. Buddhism identifies three stages of practice: hearing, reflecting, and meditating. When reflecting, we can, for example, look at how we hold the spoon when we're eating our soup. If you don't collaborate with the spoon, the soup will go on your clothes. The spoon has a shape, and if you don't get the angle right, it won't hold the soup. Just observe how you're picking up the spoon. You put the spoon in the soup, and in the soup there are some vegetables that hang on the edge of the spoon. Will they fall off or not? It is very immediate. Maybe you have to put the spoon back in the soup and take a few of the vegetables. Moment by moment, our existence is very precise because there is a conjunction of circumstances coming together. Not me over the world, not the world over me, but a collaborative emergence. I am revealed to myself through my participation. We now have a sense of the particularity of the moment, this particular expression arising within a field that is open, which contains self and other. What is the field resting on? What is the ground or the base of the experience? We can call it the mind, but that is just a word. If you stay present, there is a showing. Who sees the showing? We call it the mind or awareness. We are here together in this space. Each of us has a particular perception because of where we are sitting and what is opening up in front of our gaze. We can interpret what is going on. We can describe to ourselves what is going on. But prior to that, there is this. The commentary comes after the fact of the showing. The showing is intrinsic, the interpretation is contingent. Normally, we have a duality of showing and shown. But when we look at the mirror, the shower of the reflection is the mirror. What is showing is the reflection, but are they two different things? Can you take some scissors and cut between them? What shows and what is shown are inseparable. In the same way, here in this room, everything is revealed. On top of that showing, you can run your own particular identifications, commentaries, likes and dislikes, and so on. But before the mind moves, before these formulations occur, there is this. Each moment is this. Then you can make sense of it. But what is this? All comes together. When you think about it, you might conceptualize, I am inside my body looking out at you. That is a story, an interpretation. However, if I stay with the immediacy, feeling my hands on my knees, the hardness of the chair I'm sitting on, the slight tension in my shoulder, seeing all of what is in front of me, red blanket, man, woman, chair, and so on, that is already halfway to an interpretation. I don't see a man and a woman. I see shape and colour. The interpretation man and woman comes after what is here. The field discloses itself as light and sound. Within that, the movements of interpretation arise, indicating a particular kind of meaning to the pattern. The showing was intrinsic, The interpretation is contingent. As soon as you go into the particularity of the people you see in the room, you have liking and not liking. Some people may look threatening or boring or sexually interesting. There is some kind of charge or energetic vitality in what you encounter. Before that, there was just this. Undifferentiated light and colour. Undifferentiated in the sense that, although there are different colours, it's all at once. All at once. Immediate. Not mediated. Not passing through some process. The processing comes after. From the point of view of Dzogchen, these are the three aspects of our mind. Mind is open, empty. If you look for the mind, you can't find it. However, it is not a dull empty. It's an openness which allows everything, just as the indeterminacy of the mirror allows every possible reflection. This openness is uncontaminated. Maybe you've had this experience. It can be very annoying if you're angry with somebody and you're really trying to say something important and serious to them, but they respond in a way that makes you laugh. Why am I laughing? I'm pissed off with you. Stop making me laugh. This is really annoying. It's important to see that we can be taken out of ourselves quite easily. And that is because there is not a self to begin with. Our relatedness is ceaselessly transforming according to circumstances. That is to say, selfing is a showing. None of us here has a fixed self. We have many selves, or many potential selves. They are non-definitive. The empty open ground of the mind is never determined or marked or shaped by anything which has occurred. This is referred to as kata, primordial purity. It's an unchanging, indestructible purity. The capacity of the mirror to show reflections is not altered by any particularly horrible reflection. If you were to take the mirror away from your bedroom and hang it in an abattoir for a whole day in front of lots of animals having their throats cut and so on, then when you came to collect it at the end of the day, would you have to take the poor mirror to a doctor? Would the mirror be very upset? No. The ego self is very concerned with good, bad, right, wrong. The openness of the mind is not. It is indifferent. Mind is just open. It sees everything. Everything is revealed. Dzogchen meditation texts use the term rangbab, free fall, like a waterfall tumbling down a hill. When you're sitting in the practice, let the mind just come however it comes. Don't try to channel it or edit it or improve it. This doesn't mean you're going to act out your worst tendencies. Rather, it is an encouragement to release the anxiety, which interrupts the immediacy, the spontaneity, the intuitive connectivity of how we manifest. Let's now do some practice. Make yourself comfortable. There is nothing in particular to focus on. The focus of our practice is whatever occurs. We relax, open. Open and allow whatever comes to come. The key thing is not to merge into the moment and try to hang on to it. If you don't like whatever is arising, don't try to push it away. Remember the example of the mirror? No reflection damages the mirror. No thought or feeling or memory damages the mind. When you realize that, any need to edit experience ceases. We will do this kind of sitting again and again for short periods of time. At first, when you do this practice, it may seem strange, a bit pointless and meaningless. When you have that experience, it is an indication that you are tilting over to your ego self that wants to know what is going on. Teaching given in Warsaw over the 14th to 15th of December 2019. Edited by Barbara Terrace and James Lowe. From the book The Open Door of Emptiness by James Lowe. Read by Wendy. Losar, February 2025.